Just a heads up, the Razzball Baseball Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Razzball Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Capozzi, and I'm joined today, as always, by two gentlemen who are never afraid to assume the position, Mr. Gray Albright and Rudy Gamble. Gentlemen, hello, how are you?
Good, Nick.
Yeah, assume a position.
I don't know what position are we talking about?
I don't know. Do you need to play outfield, catcher?
Are we talking Kama Sutra?
I was inferring more along the lines of baseball positions, you know. But
I got carpal tunnel on my ass. Let's go.
All right, here we go. A busy week in baseball. But what I wanted to start with today was a little email bag segment, because I know I've been getting asked a lot of questions lately. You know, we're at the 6-week mark, 7-week mark. And what do I do with my team? Now that I actually have something to assess, how do I assess it? So our first email today comes from Alyssa from Hollywood.
Oh, God.
Alyssa's a big Dodger fan.
Oh, man. When's the Pedro Alvarez coming? He sucks again. All right? I'm sorry.
So Alyssa asks, guys, I love pitchers. And right now, my pitching sucks.
I thought she loved catchers. I mean, wait, what?
No, this is Alyssa from Hollywood, big Dodger fan. So anyway, her ERA and WHIP are terrible, but she has Josh Hamilton. So she's wondering, do I trade Josh Hamilton and get David Price and Matt Cain? Is that something you would do at this point in the season, or are your ratio stats just foobard and you're out of luck? Rudy, what do you think?
No, you could always make dents in your ratio stats. But I mean, assuming Alyssa drafted okay, she probably her staff probably has a little bit of a chance at regression. So I wouldn't crazy, but
Alyssa loves a good staff.
Yeah, she does. I know. I threw that one out there for you guys. If in the choice of basically two ace pitchers, I would trade Josh Hamilton. But I'm not. I prefer to trade pitching for hitting versus the other way around. I would pretty much cut bait with anyone that, you know, any of the marginal starters that, you know, maybe took chances on and they're just not working. But I think you've got to, you know, plow the waiver wire. And maybe make some smaller trades, but I definitely wouldn't start with your best hitter.
Okay, Gray, you got anything on that?
I guess at this point, it should become apparent what your weaknesses are on your team. So if you're doing better in pitching, then yeah, definitely start looking to try and bolster your hitting by trading off some hot starting pitchers. I was saying the other day, I thought that Lance Lynn was a good sell high guy. I think there's a couple others, you know, I think Brandon Moreau, I think anyone who is, anyone who's really looking like your team is really at this point, it should be pretty obvious what your strengths and weaknesses are. So yeah, if you drafted thinking Josh Beckett was your number one starter, even though he had a good game today, I'd suggest you start looking to fix your pitching, and vice versa with hitting.
Yeah, I think here's a good kind of, you know, kind of way to think about it. Go back to your preseason rankings. Look at how you had players ranked there. Anyone who's overperforming, be anxious to trade, unless there's been something significant in how they've been playing, that there's something that, like, you know, Hamilton's been healthy and crazy hot. He's not going to stay that hot, but he's clearly better than anyone could have projected him at the start of the season. But guys like maybe like a Josh Reddick, totally outperforming. He's gonna come down pretty hard. Those are the guys, if you can get, you know, significant value differences based on your preseason rankings, go for it. But I wouldn't trade just to trade. I definitely wouldn't get in a situation where you're trading guys like an Eric Hosmer at like 50 cents on the dollar because he's doing bad, and trading for a Lance Lynn who's due to come down. So if anything, you're trying to find those instances. Your few guys that are hot, you're trying to trade for guys that maybe are undervalued now.
So let me ask you then, at what point in a season typically is it too late to try and fix your ratios? And I asked that, okay, let me paint you a picture here. Actually, hold on, there's another email here. This is from Pedro in Pittsburgh. And Pedro writes in, Dear Fantasy Geniuses, last season I had a terrible ERA and WHIP, but was able to make a trade for three closers towards the end of the season, and I caught up 6 points in saves. So using that example, if your ratios are, you know, at what point do the ratios become something you can't fix and you try and make some deals just for counting stats?
I don't think ratio versus counting, I don't think there's really any difference. I mean, I think, you know, like big deficits are tough to come back from. But the thing is, let's just say you're in last place in any stat. It's not so much how far you are from the first place. There's just points to gain. So I'm just, you know, at this, I don't want to punt anything right now. And just knowing that if I really want to do well in a league, I'm going to have to do well in 8 or 9 categories. I don't think you'd ever really punt a stat. You know, you might end up really bad in a stat. Like, I think right now we're in a league, we're in second place, but our average is in last place. But even something like that, we're not actively punting it. So I'd say never give up. And it's, I mean, another one I remember from last year was in our NL labor. Our pitching was awful. And a late season trade for, we traded Pujols for Cliff Lee in that league. And we must have gained maybe like 6 or 7 points in ERA and WHIP.
Wow.
Now we started at 1-1 on those. So, I mean, it was starting low, but we had a lot of points to gain there where, you know, it actually, I think that trade was a total net positive, even with Pujols having a really good last 2 months or so.
Right. Okay, that's a good way to look at it. Gray, I just want to make sure your microphone is on because you've never gone this long without saying something.
Well, I don't want to interrupt. I'm trying to give Rudy the floor. I agree with what he's saying. If there's no reason to punt anything ever. I think the worst, you know, even the worst case scenario at this point for ratios or counting stats is fixable. Definitely, you need to make the right trades and to have a little bit of luck, but you're not out of it at this point. I think the worst thing you can do probably is to say, okay, I'm dead last in saves, I'm going to punt them, and I'm just going to go all in for starters. And then what, you trade for, say, I don't know, Matt Cain, not to jinx anyone, but say you trade for Matt Cain, with your best two closers, and then Matt Cain goes down. Now you don't have closers, and you don't have the starter. I mean, it's not foolproof to be punting something and to try and get better like other categories. Yeah. So
because then you just
I would avoid punting. I'd also avoid Eric Hosmer at this point. Oh, he is killing me.
Well, the same talk about Hosmer.
What's he hitting like? He's hitting like 170 at this point. It's really. Just death.
I think 170 is the highway that goes through Kansas City.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Hosmer, Francoeur, and Dyson are all riding on it.
No, it's bizarre.
No, what are you talking? Dyson's hot, man.
Oh, Dyson. Yeah, that's right. He's got Sagnuff, too.
It helps. He's been invented by a British genius.
Moose Talk is hitting well,
he's
too.
He's part chicken.
I bunt. And it goes perfectly down the third base line. The ball isn't stained.
I put a backspin on it like I'm playing tennis.
I always looked at bunts and said, they're inefficient.
Oh, or a very dry cake.
Yeah, I don't know if they have Dyson in Canada.
No, but
Dyson, I don't know. They have a better educational system in Canada, though. Nick was telling me.
I did.
You're wondering behind the scenes of the Razzball podcast before our listeners start.
Actually, you know,
I'm
picturing Canadians in the winter in like one of those like that hand dryer Dyson thing he's got where you stick your hand in. I picture a body one. And they're just sitting in there all during the winter.
With one of those fur hats with the like a big flap down ears.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, it's cold, but we do have stable banks and a resource-based economy, so we're doing great.
This is the last one. It's a jelly.
What?
What? That's Strange Brew. Come on. That's number one movie, according to the Canadian Movie Board.
No, after Porky's, we gave up. That was our contribution to the film.
Was Porky's Canadian?
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought it was Ohio. All right, anyway, back to baseball.
All right, back to baseball. So just Alyssa also had a quick follow-up question. She wanted to know what we thought about Matt Kemp's ham bone. I think she meant hamstring. So Kemp, hamstring injury to the DL. It's retroactive to the 14th. But he was, I mean, after Josh Hamilton, he was the number one guy to own right now. So what are we looking at for Kemp here?
I think his prediction of having a 50-50 season might come down a little bit.
50 days in the DL, maybe.
Yeah. It's never a good thing when a guy who relies a bit on his legs to have a hamstring injury. But I don't know. I think he's going to be fine after his 15 days on the DL. Maybe, I think, 30-20 of a year rather than, 30-30. I'll give you a right now for him. It's a trade.
Yeah, I think, I've never been convinced that steal the bases. I mean, he's had 30 stolen bases at least in three of the last 4 years. He doesn't seem like the natural kind of stealer that I think 20 is the upside this year, but I mean I think once he gets back, I'm just gonna assume he's gonna be hitting like he has the last year and month and a half.
I got an idea. Hey Rudy, you want to trade me Hosmer in the RCL? You want to trade for him?
You want? I'll give you Francoeur.
Nah, come on, seriously.
I've got Dyson too.
Nah, not interested. Give me someone else. Come on. You were saying that about preseason rankings and don't give up on Hosmer.
I know, but I drafted Adam LaRoche. Oh no, I picked him up as free agent. So I've got the LaRoche.
Put your money where your mouth is. Let's go. Trade me.
Canadian sounding cornerman ever, Votto and LaRoche. One's Canadian, the other one sounds it.
Oh, they should be hockey players. I'll take Hosmer off your hands.
Thank God I have Morneau, though.
Who would you trade right now to me for Hosmer?
What do I need? Give me a paint me a picture.
I don't know.
Okay,
you need a pitcher. You need a starter.
Are we live trading now?
Live trading.
I don't need a pitcher.
I tell you what, I would give
man
you
money with Jim Cramer. Let's go.
I would give you David Price. I would give you David Price for Eric Hosmer right now, straight up.
Really?
I wouldn't even think twice.
I wish you were in our league. I'd give you Hosmer for Price right now.
There's no question in my mind. But because
how about you, Rudy? Go ahead. You can do hypothetical. I won't hold you to it.
How about Altuve?
Yeah, wait until next year when Nick's throwing Altuve in your face.
Hey, Altuve's been fantastic.
No, he hasn't. He's hitting like 180 in the last 2 weeks.
My team's just not really set up to trade on. Like, I mean,
I won't hold you to it. Who would you trade hypothetically? It doesn't even have to be on your team. Who would you trade to me for Hosmer?
Hey,
do we have the Jeopardy music? Come on, just give me.
Okay, while you think about that, Rudy, I'll let you come back to that answer, but let me throw this name out as a guy who went about 15 rounds later than Hosmer and is putting up the numbers people thought Hosmer would put up, and that's Freddie Freeman.
Stop throwing shit in my face, man. I wish I had Freddie Freeman instead of Hosmer. I'll tell you that. I don't know if I'd trade you straight up for Hosmer.
I'd trade you Freddie Freeman in a sweetener. For Hosmer.
That sounds Splenda. Freddie Freeman looks good. Right now he's got a little bit of an eye issue. I was pretty worried coming into the season because I thought if he regressed at all with his power, he might turn into a James Loney, which is, you know, shudder. You don't want to be drafting James Loney. But it looks like he's taking his power to the next step, and I'll trade you Hosmer for free.
You thought he might have like the sophomore jinx like Hayward.
Yeah, or Hosmer. Yeah.
But Moustakas has been on fire.
Yeah.
I think he had another homer today.
It's bizarro world in Kansas City.
Greek lightning.
Tzatziki lightning. So let me ask you something else now, because someone asked me this week. Is Jose Reyes officially the most overrated player in fantasy baseball, or does Joe Mauer still hold the title?
Oh, I think it's Mauer. Because Reyes was awesome last year.
Yeah, but that was, you know, that was after 2 years of sketchiness.
But he came at it. I'll give, but Reyes, whatever you drafted him at, you got him at a bargain probably last year, even though he gave you more batting average instead of stolen bases. You know, he kind of traded off a little bit on what you think he's going to give you. But yeah, Reyes this year,
I have a hard time saying any of those type of guys are really overrated too, because like a Reyes, he could steal 15 bases in a month and go and have his value immediately. Where Mauer, Mauer's overrated. Yeah.
Yeah, this has got to be the third year in a row that Mauer has been overdrafted. Whatever you drafted him at the year, he had 28 homers.
Yeah, that was 2009. Yeah.
Oh, but this is the year three. I think I had him. I know I drafted him in 2010, and in an AL league, and that didn't go over too well with Moss team's success. But yeah, I think Mauer's right now probably number one, because he has the double negative of like he doesn't really have reliable power, and he's a catcher, so you're always worried about his getting injured and stuff like that.
But he's 6'5", handsome Minnesotan. I mean, that's got to count for something, right?
Yeah, if I had a my daughter was 20 something years older, I'd be fine if he wanted to marry her.
Delancey and Mauer. It's hot. What if Mauer? Let's do the what if Mauer is 57, and Delancey comes home at 25, and she's like, I'm dating this guy, Joey Mauer.
I'd be like, you fucked me over in 2010, you bastard.
It's like, Rudy can forgive, you just can't forget.
Yeah.
So, let me ask you this thing,
Graham. I have nightmares every time we go to Target. I can't get out of this thing.
So,
it's so big.
Gray, would you rather have Jose Reyes or Hosmer?
Reyes in a second. Trade me. Okay. Trade him to me. I'll take him. We ever get an answer on Rudy? Rudy, who are you trading to me for Hosmer?
I said Freddie Freeman and a sweetener.
No, stop with the Freddie Freeman sweetener. I don't want that. I want something better. Give me something else.
John Lester.
Fine. I'll take Lester.
Yeah.
You're out of that league, too. Let's do it. Great. Awesome. You wouldn't take him. You wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't. But I love pitching.
Okay.
He does. He loves pitching. All right, let's continue.
Hold on. There's another email here. It's from Jose in Houston, and he asks, I'll
take you Adam LaRoche.
Jose asks, I've been riding Hosmer, and I've invested that 170 average now, so why would I trade him when I know I'm probably going to get 280 the rest of the year?
I don't think there's any guarantee of that. I'm starting to worry that Hosmer could be this year's Hayward. He's not walking. He's not hitting. He's not stealing. He's not doing anything, really. And he's on the Royals. God, get him off my team.
Royals, what are you downplaying the Royals? Butler and Moustakas are doing well.
Oh, yeah.
This is Alcides Escobar breakout year.
Yeah, he's going to have 15 steals with a 265 average.
He might finally have like an offensive war above zero.
0.1.
All right, let's do a little back and forth here.
Latin Mark Belanger.
let's do a little back and forth here. I'm going to throw out some names of some guys who are under 50% owned. And just let me know. That who are having nice seasons, excuse me. And let me know if you could find a spot for them on your roster, let's say in a 12-team mixed league right now, okay?
Okay.
And I'll fire it back to each one of you guys. He's got catcher and outfield eligibility, 9% owned, Ryan Dumit. Rudy, you got room for him?
He's my catcher in RCL.
All right, beautiful. Great.
I dropped spicy Italian sauce for him.
Hey, JP Ranciaba. You're spicy. You're a spicy catcher. Definitely. Yeah, he's definitely a catcher in a 12-team league. He's a catcher in a 10-team league.
Yeah.
All right, good enough for
Which
me.
Which is different than saying chow to Francisco Cervelli.
I thought we were talking about it spicy Italian sauce. You're going to say salt a la macchia. Chris Johnson from Houston, 35% owned.
Jesus Christ, he's on my team too. It's only because Longoria is on the DL. But Chris Johnson's just you ride him while he's hot. That's it.
Ride him while he's hot.
And then you could drop him and feel like no recourse.
Assume the position, Chris Johnson. Now get the fuck out.
It's like it must be like how like NBA players feel about groupies. They're like, I'm in Houston, Chris Johnson.
Great, what about you? You got room for Chris?
Yeah, definitely.
What about Raul Ibanez?
Trade it for Hosmer with him.
No, thanks.
He's the sweetener.
Yeah. Why don't you pick up Raul Ibanez and then put him as a sweetener?
Oh, jeez. Was that the next one, Ibanez?
Yeah, Ibanez.
No, Ibanez, no.
No, and he missed today. I think he's a little bit dinged up.
Yeah, dinged up in a platoon.
Yeah, because... Yeah, that happens when you're 50.
I wish I had a T-shirt.
No, Ibanez, I think is still an AL only play, maybe 15 team, but I wouldn't feel good about it.
Okay, two more. What about Luke Banana Chip Scott? Only 45% of it.
I own him in a 12-team league, so I'm gonna have to say yes.
Yeah, I think Luke Scott. He's like Chris Johnson. Ride him while he's hot.
Yeah.
And
then you gotta cut bait.
And then hope he doesn't get injured on a home run trot. And
hope he doesn't throw banana chips at you.
Yeah, he's like...
What's the banana chips? I don't get the banana chips reference.
Oh, Google that.
Google it?
Oh, Google Luke Scott
banana chips. What's Google? Can I Google the word Google?
The last time I heard that, someone told me like, oh, you should Google Lemon Party.
Yeah, or Google two girls in one cup. What's this? Interesting. Okay. Is this about ice cream?
Allegedly, I'm going to throw allegedly out there, Luke Scott threw some banana chips at a Dominican teammate to keep the Savage in line. So, that's our boy, Luke Scott.
Wow.
I think it should be noted that we only discriminate against slumping players.
Yeah.
Race. Yeah. Race has nothing. We don't
race, religion, no bearing. But if someone's slumping,
we'll joke about religion, but we don't discriminate on religion.
You know what? Actually, the Rays are in Toronto tonight, so maybe I'll head down to the game and I'll throw some banana chips to Luke Scott. Last one.
Really? Who do you throw banana chips at?
Just Google the story, because I'm still putting allegedly. Oh, but it's...
Manon, come on.
No, you know what? Actually, I...
What do you got, Google stock?
Yeah. If I did, I wouldn't be doing this podcast.
Did you buy ads for AdSense with banana chips?
That actually is in the title. It says Orioles. Luke Scott throws banana chips at Dominican teammate.
Yeah,
it's like.
Yeah, what is this?
Was it not to Scott?
Noted birther.
Oh, it's Felix. It was Felix PA.
Oh, yeah, well, maybe exactly. He thought he was making a banana pie.
Yeah.
They're not wrong, man.
Yeah, I think it was just a bad joke because he is really good friends with Felix P.I. I just heard he's all happy because Tampa signed him.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah, they're buddies. They went to see Pocahontas together.
Yeah.
I'm skimming this article. What? Why is Pocahontas have to do it?
All right, what about,
I don't know, but Luke Scott would probably be flinging, like, you know, overripe corn at her.
Tasteless yam.
All right, what about Juan Pierre? Only 9% owned. He's playing every day. He's hitting, you know, well over 300, and he's stealing bases.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, if you need steals.
Yeah. No, I think he's up there with like a Jared Dyson. I you have to make sure he's starting because he only starts like four. Doesn't he only start like 4 or 5 days a week?
He doesn't start every day.
Oh, he is right now, isn't he? I'm pretty sure he's playing every day.
And I actually with a Pierre, I wouldn't want him started until I look at who the opposing catcher is.
I actually
started Dyson today only because Napoli was the catcher.
Napoli looked decent with throwing out runners in the playoffs, didn't he? Did he steal? Did Dyson steal today?
No, I think every time he got on base, Colby Lewis threw it away.
Colby Lewis threw a home run. Dang it. Colby Lewis turns, he does a 180 on the mound and just throws the ball over the fence nowadays.
You got to draft Colby Lewis in XFIP League. He's a top 10 starter in XFIP.
The Juan Ateneu. San Watanayo League. When is that? The Fangraphs one? What is it? Yeah. San Watanayo? Or is that's where Shawshank. That's where that ends. All right. Bring it back in, Nick. Bring it in.
Okay. So Carlos Zambrano is drinking Aussie's Kool-Aid down at the Crayon Canyon.
As long as it's not Gatorade. Big C does not like the Gatorade.
Is he going to keep it up this year? Because he's less than 50% owned.
You know, I think just about every starter on the Marlins, it's about the point where they could be considered the second. That's the second Petco. I think I'd rather have a Marlin than a Mariner at this point, because you also get the NL.
Right.
So what would you rather have, same pitcher as a Marlin or a Met?
Wow, this is a Marlin.
I'd take a Marlin.
Yeah,
only because the Mets pitchers, I mean, who are you taking there? Dickey?
No, I'm saying same pitcher.
Nice? You, oh, same pitcher. Oh.
Yeah, would you rather him?
I'd go to the Crayola Canyon.
Yeah. Zambrano, Nolasco, they're all worth owning as long as they're pitching at home. I wouldn't pitch. There's only two Marlins I would pitch outside of Miami, and that's Annabelle and Josh Johnson if he's looking good.
Speaking
of I'd like to be a fly on the wall for an Aussie Zambrano conversation, though. That would be interesting.
I think. They're crazy like foxes.
Yeah. I'm guessing the conversation would be at a dogfight for some reason. That's what I'm picturing.
Oh, I wish I spoke more Spanish. Yeah, it'd be great to be a fly on that wall. Another email. This is from Annabelle in Miami. And Annabelle writes, you know, I'm a little short on pitching right now. Adam Wainwright is off to a shaky start, which is common. coming back from Tommy John surgery with the control. But is it a good time to buy low? Do you guys think that Wainwright can right the ship this year? No pun intended.
I'm going to go with the yes on that one. I don't have the... I'm waiting for my page to load to let you know in terms of. He's looking good. He's got the. Doesn't he have the? His K per nine is up. His K per nine is walks are.
I think really, with the Wainwright, I was worried about him going into draft season, but now he's about like 14, 15 months away from the surgery now, which is when pitchers Francisco Liriano. It's when pitchers coming off that surgery have, they start to put it together. So I'd be all right trading for Wainwright at this point if the price is right.
Yeah, I think he's kind of buy low. Everything's looking good on the, I think he's had bad homer luck and bad balls in play luck.
So let me ask you this. Would you rather have for the rest of the season Chris Carpenter, who comes back hopefully in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, Wainwright. Wainwright. I don't want Carpenter.
Yeah, Carpenter's got too much. I'd rather have Wainwright than Los. I'd rather have him than any other Cardinal pitcher right now.
Okay.
I'd take Wainwright over Lance Lynn for rest of
the year. If you had Lance Lynn, would you trade him for Wainwright right now?
Yes.
I would.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah, I probably would too.
And that's the type of trade I think, those are the good trades to make about this time of year. You're hoping to, get guys when they're playing above their talent level. And if you look at Lance Lynn's minor league stats, there's nothing great there. That one really came out of nowhere.
Go ahead. Finish up.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say thanks, Rudy, for that great insight is what I was going to say. D. Gordon. Obviously,
I like cutting off the insight to say thanks for the insight. Standard move. They teach you that in Radio 101.
So, D. Gordon is super tempting, obviously, but he's hitting .211. He's got 9 errors, which it doesn't count for fantasy. But in terms of him playing every day,
except the Dodgers, not a new.
Yeah, but is there a chance he actually goes back to the minors? Never mind, playing every day. I mean, what's now? See, would you trade D. Gordon for Adam Wainwright right now? Might be a good deal.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I think D. Gordon right now is 2 weeks away from either hitting and putting his shit together, or he's going to the minors. If he's not hitting within 2 weeks, I think you're gonna see D. Gordon demoted. It's demoted. That'll be the title.
Yeah, it seems like, they got Justin Sellers, who's kind of replacement level, and they brought up Herrera, who actually looked like a pretty good leadoff hitter, albeit, he's a little long in the tooth for a rookie. I think he's like 27. I think Gordon can totally get sent down in the next week or so if he doesn't turn it around. Because he's not good on base either, in terms of on base percentage.
Yeah, no, he's not good in terms of pretty much anything except stealing bases when he's on base, which has been rare.
Yeah, I would not trade you Hosmer for D. Gordon right now.
Yeah, yeah, and that's why. I think both Gray and I we don't like drafting Sagnos too high in the draft.
Right.
We didn't get Bourne, Gordon. Don't get me wrong, we like them after the season starts, but just never, we don't like to draft them too high. Just because there's going to be guys like Campana, Dyson, that basically will steal you, 5 bases in a week, potentially, as off of, cheap off the waiver wire.
Right.
Campana, yeah.
Yeah, I mentioned that.
But Campana hasn't done much since two podcasts ago.
No, he's stolen 2 bases in the last like 2 or 3 games.
Okay.
But but then you could cut bait with him. No one's going to steal 5 bases a week, except like, 1980s Henderson. But all you need is a couple of those, and as long as your team wasn't completely stolen base deficient, you'll be doing pretty well.
So let me ask you about
on Gordon.
Let me ask you about two guys real quick.
Yahoo had Gordon really high in the drafts.
They did like him a lot.
Yeah.
Man, I wish I had a convenient player rater. Well, wait a minute. I can go to rasball.com and look at the player rater. Also, if you don't know what a Zagnoff is, you need to get on rasball.com and look up the glossary.
I like how you say that. There's so many people stumbling on this podcast. Well, I was looking for a podcast about botany, but what's this?
Oh, hey, Gray, are you concerned? Are you concerned with Tulo's knee?
No, I think he's playing today. I don't know. I mean, it's a little early to say. Maybe we'll know more after a couple days. But right now, I'm not concerned.
I think I'm more concerned. Tulowitzki, I'm looking at the player rater. He's been worth $6 so far in a 12-team league. I mean, D. Gordon's worth $3. He's been easily worth 2 D. Gordons.
which is still only like 180 pounds.
Now this is the sad thing. Alcides Escobar is above Troy Tulowitzki.
Ow.
Wow.
But Tulowitzki is, you know, I'll say he is one streaky motherfucker.
What does Tulowitzki's wallet say? Streaky motherfucker.
Yeah.
That should be a Razzball t-shirt.
Yeah. So, I don't think you can, you know what? I probably, if someone's willing to trade you what you drafted him at, which is probably first round, if you can get, I don't know, I'd trade him straight up for like Adrian Gonzalez right now.
Yeah, who also isn't doing that well, but yeah.
Right, I'm saying that could be like kind of a...
Tulo's weird though. Like if you can stay in the hunt for like a head-to-head league and have Tulo, there's a chance he can carry you for the entire month of September,
I know. It's that, you know, he's streaky, but you get in that point where like, you know, maybe the streak just doesn't happen this year.
Right.
So, but I gotta think though, when it warms up in Colorado, at some point balls will start flying out of there and he'll be okay.
Hey, they're flying for cargo.
That's true.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm pissed we didn't get him in one league.
Let me ask
Jose Reyes is terrible on the player rater.
He's
that's
below
what I'm
D.
talking
Gordon.
About. I'd rather have Hosmer than Reyes. Wow. I'd do that deal. If I needed a first baseman, I'd take Hosmer over Reyes. I would
really?
Think, yeah, I wouldn't even think twice.
Man, I don't know. I think I'd take Reyes.
I'd want some sweetener.
I think that the shocker is you see who's number one in shortstop?
The shocker. The shocker. Oh, yeah, the early bird special.
Rafael Furcal is number one in terms of shortstops. What do they have in St. Louis? What's between him, Beltran, Berkman?
The Gateway Arch is actually a regenerative alien device. Actually, you know what's funny? In all my leagues this year, just by having...
Where's Wilfred Brimley? is he?
I have Furcal and Beltran on every team this year. It's been a good start. Let me ask you quickly... I just want to talk about one guy, and they'll just quickly go through some closer situations. But Brian LeHaire has been phenomenal. Now, obviously, he probably can't keep, very likely can't keep it up. But what could he do the rest of the year?
You don't have to add the very likely. He's not going to keep this up.
But what could he do the rest of the year? I mean, if he's put up these numbers now. I mean, has he just finally, you know, has he converted from a quad A to a 3A or to a major league guy, or is this just a flash in the pan and just ride it while it's hot?
No, I think right now, I think he's officially like in Luke Scotland, minus the racial humor. that, you know, like, so Luke Scotland is like 25 homers, you know, and, you know, 260 average. So I could see him hitting like prorated that going forward.
Right.
You know what would be an interesting trade? LeHaire for Hosmer.
Wow.
It'd be something. I don't know. It'd be interesting as to why someone would do
interesting
that.
For me.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm still trying to figure out how to get Hosmer on my team. I'm sorry. Yeah, no, LeHaire, I mentioned last Friday on Razzball.com that LeHaire is a sell high guy. The you know, the average is ridiculous right now. I think he had I think his batting average of balls in play was over 400. Everything he's hitting is going out for a homer. He went This weekend, he was, I think, 1-for-14 with 10 Ks. He strings together 3 weeks like that, you're going to be like, man, I wish I would have traded LaHare.
Now, well, I'm looking at on our handy BABIP versus average chart. He's still number two. He's been like top five in terms of the biggest difference between their expected average and their current average.
Right. So it's like four something, right?
His bad balls in play is 475, which I think
that's ridiculous.
That's number. I want to. It's number one among qualified hitters, just ahead of.
Historically, that would be 150 right. points above what he right. should be. I mean, it's like ridiculous.
He should be hitting about 250, and he's shown good power. Like I said, a 250, 25 homer corner guy actually has some value these days. So.
Yeah. I mean, he's not. It's useless.
He's got value. He should be. He definitely shouldn't be a first. He should be a corner guy or utility guy. The fact that he's hitting right now, he's hitting I'm trying to. Where is he on first baseman? I mean, he's got to be like top six or so, top five, right?
All I know is we've just put 5 minutes into Brian LaHare, and it probably should have started and ended with, hey, he'd be a great left winger on the Votto-LaRoche line.
What?
LaHare, LaRoche, and Votto.
It's a hockey joke.
Yeah. Oh, and I don't know hockey. Oh. Yeah.
And he's sixth in first baseman.
Hey, that's you should
all
be.
Sides.
If you count Encarnacion, who's number one. Bucket.
Icing. Put icing on the bun.
All right, listen, we're just going to wrap up quickly with why you should punt saves, also known as the closing segment.
LaHare is number six on the player radar, right below LaRoche and right above Miggy.
He must have had a connecting flight through St. Louis this year and hung out under the Gateway Arch.
He's not 35.
No. Okay,
one word
everyone,
answer.
Everyone, men in your mid-30s, go to St. Louis.
Yeah. that's number one advice an agent can give an aging player. Go to St. Louis.
the rejuvenative powers of the Anheuser-Busch factory.
All right, let's wrap this up.
If only Don Mattingly would have known.
All right, let's wrap this up, or I'm giving you both 2 minutes for interference in the penalty box.
What? Oh, okay.
Okay.
Hockey.
Sorry, I didn't want hockey.
Oh, okay.
All right, I just want one word answer from both you guys, one name. Who's going to have the most saves for the New York Mets rest of the season? Gray, one name.
Frank.
Rudy?
Oh, friends. Frank.
Okay, and White Sox, Gray?
Reed.
Oh, that was pretty easy. Okay, so let me just go back to that then. This will really wrap it up. Who do you want in the meantime?
What about Yankees? Say Yankees.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. I forgot to bring up K-Rob and his oblique. Okay, Yankees, Gray.
Soriano.
Rudy.
Soriano.
See, I agree with you on all those, except I think I'd have K-Rob. Although it's an oblique, so you don't know, but he's just...
Yeah. Oh, it's big. Nationals. Go ahead. Say Nationals, okay. Nick.
Nationals, Gray.
Storin.
Yeah, I'd go Storin, too. Man, Henry Rodriguez is not looking good these days.
Nah, he fell apart.
That's what happened.
I had high hopes for him.
I was going to say Rick Ankiel.
Yeah. Maybe he'd come back as a hitter.
Yeah, there you go. Henry Rodriguez, you could be the backup center fielder.
All right,
trade for Borjos already, Washington.
Yeah, seriously.
That would be good.
All right, that wraps up, gentlemen, another Razzball Baseball podcast. Make sure to check out Razzball.com. Also, follow these guys on Twitter, @Razzball and @RudyGamble. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank y'all.
Thanks to executive producer Scott Brown and the staff at Glenmore Records. If you ever need great recording studios in the city of Toronto, visit glenmorerecords.com. And a special thank you to Symphony of Nine for the greatest podcast intro song ever.
It's a Razzball podcast. It's a Razzball podcast. It's a Razzball podcast.